Today's episode is sponsored by Acorns. Saving consistently is one of the best ways to achieve your financial goals, but you may not know where to start or how to invest. Acorns makes it easy to start automatically saving and investing for your future. You don't need a lot of money or expertise to invest with Acorns. In fact, you can get started with your spare change. Acorns recommends an expert-built portfolio that fits you and your money goals. Then it automatically invests your money for you. Go to acorns.com/FYDJ or download the Acorns app to start saving and investing for your future today. Paid non-client endorsement may not be representative of all clients. Tier 1 compensation provided. Compensation provides an incentive to positively promote Acorns. View important disclosures at acorns.com/FYDJ. Investing involves risk, including the loss of principal. Please consider your objectives, risk tolerance, and Acorns fees before investing. Acorns Advisors LLC. Acorns is an SEC-registered investment advisor. Brokerage services are provided to clients of Acorns by Acorns Securities LLC. Member FINRA, SIPC. For more information, visit acorns.com. This is Find Your Dream Job, the podcast that helps you get hired, have the career you want, and make a difference in life. I'm your host, Mac Pritchard. I'm also the founder of MaxList. It's a job board in the Pacific Northwest that helps you find a fulfilling career. One of the best ways to get good at job hunting is to talk to people who do it well. That's why once a month, I interview a MaxList reader who found a job they love. Our guest today is Bridget Bimrose. She's the Associate Dean of Admission Communications and Special Projects at Reed College. It's a private liberal arts school in Portland, Oregon. Bridget Bimrose believes in the power of paying attention to the job market. She wasn't thinking of leaving her small business when Reed College advertised it was hiring an associate dean. But in a story you can find on the MaxList website, Bridget says it's always a good practice to know who is hiring. Why do you love your job, Bridget?
Gosh, there are so many ways to answer that question. But what I will say about my current role at Reed College is that in some ways it's a culmination of what I've always wanted in a job, in a career. I work with a high-producing team. There's lots of industry veterans, people who have been around for a long time that are great in a crisis that help triage. But there's also a lot of like newly minted people, fresh employees, students who are young and curious. And I think there's a great juxtaposition there. So I love the team, the people that I work with. And I think I hear that often and it's true. And I also really believe in mission-driven work and in education. I benefited from those things myself. And it's Reed. I'm so proud to be affiliated with the brand, with the institution. I mean, I could go on and on. I'm just so lucky to be at a place that aligns with my values and also allows me to work with a talented team in a beautiful place.
Great. Well, let's talk about your job search, Bridget. Now, you weren't looking for a new position, but you heard about this opportunity through MaxList, actually. And why did you sign up for our newsletter if you weren't looking to change positions?
So I'm social. I'm a social creature. And so I enjoy networking events and I enjoy meeting new people. I've always been very curious. As a child, my family moved around. And so we were always in different places. And I loved learning about new cultures and new people. So I'm naturally a networker and I enjoy learning about different businesses and different people. And so I wasn't actively looking for a job, but I go to networking events and Mac, you were at the networking event and you were so friendly and welcoming and your reputation did precede you when I saw your name tag and I was like, oh my gosh, Mac Pritchard is at this, 7:30 a.m. coffee and muffin networking event. And there's always different topics and conversations that the folks who attend at the Multnomah Athletic Club have. And sometimes we veer off topic and sometimes there's new people who are looking for work and there's people who are unemployed or folks who are just getting ideas on management styles. And so I was so excited to have you there and just to meet you. And that's what led me to sign up for MaxList because I realized it wasn't just job searching, which is super important, but there were different kind of industry. There was different industry insight and there were different contributors. There were men, there were women, people of color from different industries. And as someone who's naturally curious and always interested in the job market, which is just good business, I think in general, I thought, ooh, I want to sign up for this newsletter. I want to get I want to know what's going on. And so I signed up and I loved getting the newsletters. I loved checking the website, and I started actively checking in on MaxList and seeing what success stories they were sharing and what advice they were giving. And then this position at Reed College as an associate dean of admission communications kept popping up. And I thought to myself, wow, that's the kind of title and role I've always wanted. And I'd get other information as well, but it kept popping up. I kept checking, and it led me to apply. And I was so nervous, but I that's how I found this job, was through MaxList. I owe it to the newsletter, to all the content that you produce thoughtfully. And that's why I'm here. That's how I got my job.
Well, terrific. And I am grateful that you did sign up for the newsletter. And I do remember meeting you at the networking event at the Multnomah Athletic Club. I'm curious, Bridget, how did you come by your networking habits? Is it something that came to you later in your career, or how did you learn how to do this, to the importance of going out and talking with people and attending events and the like?
Well, like I mentioned before, I am a social creature. I like meeting new people. And during the pandemic, it was really difficult for me because I was at home a lot, and you know, Zoom fatigue was very real. And prior to the pandemic, I was always out. I was always going to new places. And in some ways, my background, I didn't know about a lot of positions or careers growing up. Not because I had a wonderful childhood, but I just knew more about traditional roles, and I'd never saw myself in a business environment. And so I first learned about a lot of opportunities and things that I love by going to different networking events. And sometimes it was awkward and no one would talk to me, but other times I made great connections and friends and people who are my best friends now. So networking and meeting new people is a priority for me. And I think that came from always moving around, always being the new kid, always trying to find a place where I could maybe meet a friend or find something to do on, you know, on a Thursday afternoon instead of homework. So I've always been very curious. I've always found value in meeting new people and exposing myself to new ideas. I think that was just a part of my upbringing, but I wanted to make it a part of my lifestyle because I'm at my happiest when I'm learning new things and I'm meeting new people. And oftentimes that inspires me. I think folks can get into a pattern of maybe negativity sometimes. And perspective is so important. And so as I talk a lot about networking in my childhood, meeting new people, being exposed to new ideas, and thinking about how other people do business gives you perspective. And it's always made me a better person, personally and professionally.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
So you've worked in both the private sector and now you're in higher education. Those are two very different sectors. What advice do you have, Bridget, for somebody who wants to change sectors? What's your number one tip?
That's a great question. I will say that I think taking a multidisciplinary approach to your career and your education and your life is really important. I mentioned before that I network. I serve on the board of my neighborhood association. I go to these, you know, business leader networking events, and I still am very connected in higher ed. So taking a multidisciplinary approach to your career, to your life, to your education, and staying genuinely curious about business models and career paths is really important. I think we limit ourselves when we stay in our lanes. That doesn't mean you shouldn't be an expert in something. That doesn't mean you shouldn't have a technical skill, but opportunities present themselves in unexpected ways. And it's really important to be open and adaptable. That is a skill. And so I worked in higher ed, and it's very different from the private sector. And I was so nervous when I was leaving higher education. I've only really worked at two places. I knew higher ed. I was comfortable in higher ed. I understood how interdepartmental communications worked. And so when I went to the private sector, when I was working for a small business during the pandemic, it was so different. But I used so many of the skills that I had developed over time in higher education. And I was also honest about not knowing things, about asking questions, and in some ways, not being a businesswoman in theory originally and working in the business world worked to my advantage because I could just ask basic questions. And I was sincere about it. I didn't pretend to be an expert. I didn't pretend to know all about the industry. I just asked questions. And I really tried to be adaptable and open-minded. And so you can work in a different industry. You can make the change from a small business to, you know, a Fortune 500 company. You can switch careers, but you have to be sincere and genuine about maybe not knowing things and be curious. And also don't be ashamed of not knowing things and lean into the skills that you do have. That's oftentimes why you're there. They saw something in you. They saw that there was a different point of perspective that brought value to that place that has hired you. You're there for a reason. Use your industry, use your background, use your skills to enhance the place that you're working at.
You said in your story for us, Bridget, that being clear about your non-negotiables was the hardest part of your job search. Tell us more about what those non-negotiables were and how did you get clarity about them and discuss them when you were negotiating with Reed College?
Absolutely. So negotiations are always hard. Thinking about yourself in the context of money is incredibly difficult. Whether it's networking, whether it's starting a new job, whether it's just you going into the office every day, you have to think about your long-term value in the workforce. I started as a temp at the University of Portland. I sought out mentors and opportunities. I took this job in the travel industry. I kept my business afloat. I was so proud of myself. And now here I was in this new place thinking about taking a new job. And I was so excited. I really wanted the opportunity. I really wanted the role. And I think sometimes it's hard. It's almost unnatural to combat and hold back when you're aspirational, when you're goal-oriented, when maybe you need the money. But you have to stop. You have to take a deep breath. And you have to think about what is your everyday going to look like? How does this impact your family? How does this impact your health? How is this going to impact you? I have friends who will never go back into the office. And they're honest about that. And I respect that. And I have friends who love the grind. They love getting up. They think they see value in those team meetings. And then there's always the hybrid model. And it's not just working from home. It's thinking about other things. It's thinking about your commute. It's thinking about the nature of your role. If you're a tried and true creative and you're taking a job that's going to stifle that, and you for that for you creating, having kind of control over the creative content, if that's a deal breaker for you, you should not be somewhere where those parameters are dictated by the leadership. So think through the things that really matter to you. And it sounds kind of hokey, like hopes and dreamsy, but if you're thinking about your long-term value in the workforce, which is always my North Star, think about the things that really matter to you, because you will not be successful if you're miserable because you have to be in the office, because you feel stifled, because creativity is a non-negotiable for you. So I can't emphasize that enough. For me, there's non-negotiables. I needed to be at home one day a week. That's my time. That's when I do deep work. I believe in that tremendously. And you can find other ways to do that, but I was really nervous about it, but I had to be true to myself. And then I even did things like I got in my car and I drove to Reed College to time my commute just to see what would that be like. Because spending 45 minutes in a car going somewhere, I did that as a kid with my dad. He was up in the morning. He'd have to pick us up. He had to go to the office. I spent so much of my time, so much of my life in traffic that I couldn't be somewhere. I didn't want to work somewhere where I was going to spend serious time, valuable time in traffic. And when I timed the commute, I thought, gosh, this is doable. So just thinking about those things, those are the non-negotiables for me, but people need to be honest with themselves about what's non-negotiable for them and how does that play into their value in the workforce.
Well, terrific. It's been a great conversation, Bridget. Now tell us, what's your number one job hunting tip?
Oh my gosh, I have so much advice to give. Let's see.
Don't hold back. Just pick your top one. What's
my
number
top
one?
Do not limit yourself. Do not hold yourself back. So oftentimes we get in our own way, whether it's dating, whether it's applying for a job, get in there. Worst case scenario, somebody says no. Do not sell yourself short. Do not hold yourself back. Ask a curious question. Get out there. Try to meet people. If you're interested in an industry, it doesn't mean you have to be in it, but ask around. See if there's relationships between the roles or the industry that you're interested in and the things that you're doing in day in and day out. Skills are transferable. Hard work and work ethic is transferable to any industry. So if you work hard, it sounds so hokey, but if you really work hard and you're open-minded and you want to continue to grow, don't hold yourself back. Take the risk and think about your long-term value. Don't think right now. Don't think about what I'm comfortable with. We have to be competitive in the workforce. All of us do. Everyone wants to save for retirement. We all have goals. Think about your finances and your value and get in there. It's worked for me. I see it happen every single day, and we just have to support each other and be kind to ourselves. So be kind to yourself. Think about your long-term value in the workforce and take chances. I promise they pay off.
Well, thank you for sharing your story, Bridget. To learn more about Bridget Bimarosa's job search, visit maxlist.org/stories. And check out the MaxList website for dozens of other success stories. On the second Friday of every month, we add a new interview with a MaxList reader who has found a dream job. Go to maxlist.org/stories. In the meantime, thank you for listening to today's bonus episode of Find Your Dream Job. This show is produced by MaxList. Susan Thornton-Hoff schedules our guests and writes our newsletter. Lisa Kislin-Barry Anderson manages our social media. Our sound engineer is Matt Fiorillo. Ryan Morrison at Podflight Productions edits the show. Dawn Mole creates our transcripts, and our music is by Freddie Trujillo. This is Mac Pritchard. See you next week.